This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. A very interesting little news tip. At 2 a.m. this morning, hundreds of Twitter accounts suddenly woke up and started tweeting the exact identical same pro-Ted Cruz statement about how Beto O'Rourke doesn't believe in standing for the flag or some sort of nonsense like that. It's bizarre. Anyhow, yesterday, Congressman Pocan was not available to be with us, but today we're going to pick it up and run with it. It's Middays with Mark Thursday edition here on the Tom Hartman Program. Congressman Pocan, of course, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, represents Wisconsin in the U.S. House of Representatives. His website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. And our telephone number, he'll be with us for the hour taking your calls on whatever topic you'd like to bring up. Our call-in number, 202-808-9925. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
It is so great to have you with us. And are you drinking tea this week, too?
No.
Okay. It's so funny. Last week, people can, you know, we're simulcast on television, and some people thought, is that whiskey he's drinking? No, it's just, you know, tea. Okay.
Actually, by Wisconsin standards, it probably would be brandy.
Oh, really? Okay. But it wasn't.
No.
Right. Brett Kavanaugh. It looks like Susan Collins maybe is wavering, but that's going to require all of the Democrats to hold firm and in the Senate. And I don't know what the status of that is. Do you?
No, I mean, I think there's still about close to a half a dozen people who haven't stated their opinion on the Democratic side. Susan Collins has not been especially strong on some of her earlier statements that she was going to make sure that, you know, Roe v. Wade would be upheld. Lisa Murkowski, I don't know if we are officially satisfied we have an answer on that. I know there's a heavy push right now on those two in the Republicans in the Senate. But I think, you know, part of what's interesting coming out of the last couple weeks, and, you know, a lot of people called in on this last week, just in general on the hearings, is that, you know, it's starting to look like there may be a few instances where Mr. Kavanaugh was not exactly forthright in his testimony, and including some connections to my home state of Wisconsin. Lisa Graves, who used to be, I think, the head of the counsel for Senator Leahy, some of her emails somehow wound up in the hands of, it looks like, Mr. Kavanaugh, and he claimed that it never were, and some things that were hacked or illegally gotten got to him, and that's just one of several examples. So there's some push on the outside. Is this something that's impeachable? Could you impeach him as a judge now? I'm not exactly sure, because this is all still pretty fresh, where that's going to wind up. I do think Cory Booker has been pretty interesting and brave in continuing to release documents at the, you know, really peril potentially of the Republicans who are in charge of the Senate, but trying to make sure we get as much information to know about this nominee. But, you know, again, if Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski don't stand up for what they say they believe in, it could all be moot. But there's a lot moving on this nomination, and you know, people should stay very, very closely involved.
Yeah. Oh, man, our phone lines are filling up here. We can hop right on them. And just to say one other real quick question before we get to that, though, is Donald Trump says 3,000 people didn't die in Puerto Rico, that the Democrats are just making up numbers. Yeah. Say what?
You know, I gotta say, just when I think the guy can't get any lower, he gets lower. And it really, this guy is the most truthfully challenged, not just president, but elected official.
This would be like George Bush saying 3,000 people didn't die on 9/11.
Well, yeah, and it's what's so awful is, you know, these are American citizens. How would you like to be someone who had a family member or neighbor or friend die, and you're being disrespected by the president because he's living in a fantasy world that he thinks he did a good job in Puerto Rico following the hurricane? It's just incredibly disrespectful. It's incredibly dishonest. It tells you far more about the character of Donald Trump, and I'm guessing that's why there's a 14-point generic ballot advantage for Democrats over Republicans right now in Congress, because this guy is really more the liar-in-chief than the commander-in-chief, and people who don't even follow politics are kind of tired of it. But I thought that was especially disrespectful and about as low as you can get to disrespect the so many people who died because of the hurricane.
Yeah, amen. Let's pick up some phone calls here. Russ in Hickory Oaks, Illinois. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Pocan. Now that they're trying to plug the first tax cut with $1.7 trillion of our money, what is this thing I'm hearing, a new one, a half a trillion dollars in new tax cuts? Because I tell you what, between this guy going on the Supreme Court and these tax cuts, these Republicans, they don't know when to stop. And we don't blame Congress enough for this. Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan have been getting a free ride. We're blaming Donald Trump for everything. Well, how much is this new tax cuts going to cost us?
Yeah, Russ, so first of all, you bring up an excellent point, which is let's remember where the tax cuts came from. They came from the gut, the inner being of Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. But Paul Ryan, this is all he's ever wanted to do in Congress is lower taxes for really, really rich people and corporations, and he was able to get that done. It's the one thing they did this session in all the other ineptitude. It's not just Donald Trump. I mean, this is the Republicans in the House and the Senate have passed a tax bill last November that not only 83% of the money goes to the top 1% in a decade, but takes away the individual mandate and other things that are going to make everyone's health insurance premiums go up in October probably between 8 and 30%. So everyone's going to see a big spike because of that tax bill. So that was an awful, awful thing they did for all the special interests in this town. Paul Ryan will be rewarded mightily when he leaves Congress, I can guarantee, for this. But it's not just Donald Trump. You're right, Russ. So what they're doing is they're trying to do a tax bill 2.0. That's why they had us come out literally for 24 hours. Now we're going to finish up today because of the storms. But they still had us come out because they had to get this moving because they're trying to now make permanent all the tax cuts, which, again, will add just even more to the deficit. So these people have nothing in mind for working people in this country. This is more of their effort to take care of the donor class, the Mar-a-Lago class, and we should make sure we hold them all accountable for it.
Joe in Petersburg, West Virginia, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, Congressman, I was just wondering if one time down the road, somehow or another, we gain the Congress and the Senate, and also the president, instead of worrying about the Supreme Court, why don't we just elect three more Supreme Court judges in and make them all progressive? Thank you.
Pack the court when we get power. And when we get power.
I've heard people put that idea out there. I've heard some other ideas also put out there. I think, you know, unfortunately, the politics that's happened around the Supreme Court has gone in a very awful direction, from holding up President Obama's pick for nearly a year to the point that he couldn't get a pick as a sitting president, to now, you know, putting someone out, not sharing all the documentation we need to know so you can have an actual fair hearing. The politicization of this by the Republicans has taken it to a really bad level because, you know, we need separate institutions. We need checks and balances, and right now they're making it so that it's more of a seamless transition between the three. Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell don't stand up to the president. Now they're going to stack the court. At what point do you not have what our founders intended? And I think we're getting dangerously close to that.
Andy in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on our Pacifica affiliate, WPRR. You are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Hey, Congressman. Hey, I got a question. You know, if these Republicans are voting for Kavanaugh, is that kind of a vote for dictatorship?
Well, I think, you know, Andy, what I just mentioned does, you know, hold true. I mean, if they're distorting this process to not allowing legitimate picks from previous presidents, now we've got a pick. They're not sharing enough information because you don't have the full picture and the full background of the individual. And, you know, just the idea that the president is under so much investigation, should you be moving forward with something when all of his best friends have either been indicted or given immunity, certainly puts this all into question, and I think very fairly into question by the American people. But you know, we need to do something to make sure that this doesn't continue, and we need to speak out more on Kavanaugh, because I don't think we've heard as much as we did on health care.
There you go. Congressman Mark Pocan with us for the hour. It's Middays with Mark on the Tom Hartman Program, taking your calls, 202-808-9925, and it's coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. Stick around. We'll be right back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
He is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, represents the state of Wisconsin, Pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. And welcome back. Congressman Pocan still with us. And let's see here. Norma in Montgomery, Alabama, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Dr. Tom. Congressman Pocan, when they had the resolution, the House Budget Committee passed the resolution to take the money out of Medicare, out of Medicaid, and the $60 billion surplus from Social Security, what bill did this House resolution get attached to? It needs a home. Where did it go?
Norma, I don't know that offhand. I don't have that answer. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, how did Paul Ryan find a $60 billion surplus in Social Security to give to other countries rather than give it to we, the people?
Well, I don't think he gave it to other countries. The problem is all they've been doing is ballooning the deficit for things like their tax bill. I mean, in fact, just the opposite. You know, one of, I think, the dangerous things that we're seeing under this administration is them taking away funds, for example, in the Middle East that traditionally have also gone to Palestine. Now they're taking those back. I mean, we're using our international funds in a very, I think, divisive way, which is not a surprise from this White House. But certainly, Paul's not doing anything extra for anyone, but other than, you know, the wealthy through his tax bills, and that's where we've been really blowing these big holes in the budget.
Tom in Raleigh, North Carolina, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you for taking my call, Tom. Let me just ask you a question real quick. Everybody's complaining that Donald Trump is lying about that $3,000 number down in Puerto Rico. You know, when the trade centers were hit, we got a number. We got a number within a month. We got a number. When a hurricane happens or a tornado happens, we got a number. These people can't even manage 20,000 bottles of water, cases of water. They come up with a number a year later. How do you know what the toll? They don't give an explanation of, like, what the number is from. A year later, next year it'll be 6,000 people. Is it going to be 6,000 people when they give a report out next year? And Donald Trump, he missed it again. That 64 number was given by Puerto Rico, not Donald Trump. He's just reporting what they gave.
Congressman?
Yeah. So Tom, you know, in your fantasy, the president would be giving the truthful number at 64. But according to every university that's gone down there that said the number was in the thousands, they were trying to collect the most accurate number. Don't forget, the electricity was down, water was down, far more damage than we see on the mainland here on the 48 when a hurricane hits. So, you know, you can believe the fantasy the president's putting out there. He wants you to believe in alternative facts and fake news and all the rest. And you can be a diehard till the end. You can be part of that 35%. Or you can live in the world based in reality, which is the fact that we've been told by multiple sources the number's in the thousands, and the official number now is almost 3,000. So, you know, you can protect a guy who did a crappy job in dealing with a hurricane who now wants to lie about it, or you can live in the world the rest of us do where it's not just hearing it from Democrats or whatever. You're hearing it from every entity that's gone down there has said the number is much larger than was originally assessed because they had no way to get that number at that time.
Well, the Puerto Rican government has now embraced this almost 2,000 number, haven't they?
Yeah, the 2,975. Yeah. That's the number from them. But also, yeah. Harvard and other groups came down there and said the exact same thing.
Right, yeah. Or higher. I mean, you know, there was no communication. There was no transportation.
It's still not a good situation down there a year later.
Amen. Congressman Pocan taking your calls. We'll be back in just a second. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan on the line with us, taking your calls for the hour. Middays with Mark here. Ingrid in Corona, California, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, Tom and Congressman Pocan, first time caller, long time listener. I'm calling to ask why Congress isn't moving to annul Trump. I read that article by Secretary Robert Reich, former Secretary Robert Reich, and it really seems like a good remedy for all of the evil that has been wrought under the Trump administration. And it's clear that, I mean, you know, hopefully the Mueller investigation will show that Trump and his entourage have broken a lot of laws. And so why not just undo the whole thing? I mean, it's even more effective than impeachment or stacking stacking the Supreme Court. Why not just enact the law that we have, which is to annul him? I want to divorce this administration. I'm sick of this relationship. So that's all I have to say.
I hear you, Ingrid. I have not seen that particular piece. I'm not aware of an effective way to actually annul this, but let's remember, whatever we do takes a vote of Congress, and the Congress right now is under the majority of Paul Ryan in the House and Mitch McConnell in the Senate. So that's why I think, you know, what many of us have been saying is, one, you know, the Mueller investigation is doing a great job of coming up with information, and should we, when that gets done, we're going to have some really, really great information to convince people. But the other option is, you know, the November elections are coming up. If you don't like the way current members of Congress are handling this president, and I don't like the way the current majority is handling this president, you can change the faces of those people who represent you in Congress. So, you know, not much is going to happen as long as Paul Ryan, or for that matter, Kevin McCarthy or Jim Jordan is in charge, or Mitch McConnell, because they're not going to allow anything to happen. I've just watched it over and over for the last couple of years. So we need to go in November and be heard via the ballot box, and then we've got lots of possibilities that go from there.
Paul in Taos, New Mexico, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, Tom. Congressman, thank you so much for being on here. I called with what appears to be a softball question, which I'll ask pointedly right now, and then if I may, just back it up with a little observation. The question being, what do you think the prospects of expanding the Progressive Caucus in the Congress is in this upcoming midterms? And what's behind that question is, you know, I got to say, I admire in some fashion Republicans because they go for what they want and they go for the jugular. And I think the real problem is corporate Democrats, because they this third way idea is an abject failure. And to me the pinnacle of that failure was Hillary Clinton picking Tim Kaine as her vice president. That was like Rahm Emanuel, like all the corporate Democrats telling progressives, go screw yourself. And I think that's our problem. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Paul, so thank you for your question. And so one, I do think we're going to expand the Progressive Caucus. We have 78 members currently. There are 39 challengers we are backing across the country that are on the ballot in November. And I think we're going to have a couple, maybe more, to endorse. But that's about around 40 people that we're looking forward to trying to bring into Congress. And I think it's something like 30% of the red to blue candidates that have been, you know, are the kind of DCCC candidates they think they have the best chance of winning are also the candidates that we're endorsing in the Progressive Caucus. So we've got a lot of new people that are going to come in. They're going to make our caucus stronger. But I think to your point, Paul, one of the things that we've been trying to do since I become co-chair, working with Pramila Jayapal, who's our first vice chair, who's a tremendous member of Congress from the Seattle area, we're taking our nonprofit entity for the Progressive Caucus and giving it muscle. And we're going to be putting together essentially a recreation of what the old Democratic Study Group was pre-Newt Gingrich to be able to analyze bills. We're going to work with our outside partners in the progressive community not only to take their ideas and bring them to actualization as legislation, but then when we've got progressive ideas moving forward, using their grassroots networks to put pressure on Democratic leadership to understand the progressive issues are the issues that people agree with. And we're also going to do, you know, some serious polling at the beginning of the year, again, proving our issues. We're not your mother or father's progressive caucus. It has changed quite a bit, and I think it's going to continue to with a lot of the new folks coming in. But we are right now working out like crazy. We're about to flex some muscle, and we're ready to do that in January. And I think you'll be very pleased with the direction we're going.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just about to put somebody on, and then I looked up at the clock, and we've got 10 seconds. So, is it your opinion that genuine progressives running are more successful than kind of milquetoast candidates?
I think we've seen that, right, in evidence this cycle. I mean, people want to believe in something Reuters just showed us 70% of people support Medicare for All.
Yeah, I really got that from watching Chris Hayes last night interviewing non-voters in Flint, Michigan. And they were saying, I didn't vote because there was nobody on the ballot who really reflected my values. I thought that was amazing. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's Middays with Mark on the Tom Hartman Program. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. We'll be right back. You can contact him at Pocan. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. Welcome back. It's the Middays with Mark Thursday edition here on the Tom Hartman Program. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls. Dave in Pittsburgh, California. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, Congressman Pocan. This is Dave out here in Pittsburgh, California. I have a question. It's kind of interesting. I read it on or saw on my computer. The internet is a wonderful tool to look at once in a while. And it's my understanding that Congress is looking at the 501c tax exempt corporations and the think tank corporations that are being and there's a possible bill being floored or passed on the floor to take that tax exempt away from these major think tank corporations like the Cato Institution, the Heritage Foundation, and stuff like that. I'm kind of curious. This is one leg of the stool they're going after. The other leg of the stool they need to go after is the possibility of taking away the corporate welfare entity of the stool. If you can take two legs of the stool away, you have a better chance of controlling and regulating these corporations. And I was just wondering how far along that possible bill is in the House. I know it's in the House about the taking away the 501c.
Dave, thank you. We'll ask Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, Dave, so I'm not familiar that there's a bill that they're actually pushing. It might be someone had an idea and they're threatening to do this for some other reason, but I have not seen that come through as a serious bill that we're anticipating coming up on the floor in the near future. We're in today, then we come in not next week, but the following week, and then the rumor is that the House, a couple weeks in October, we're supposed to be here. We may not be because they need to get their members back home campaigning. So if I hear more, I'll bring it up, but right now I'm not sure if it's something that's actually pending.
David in Greenfield, California, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask about the Harley-Davidson factory jobs here in the U.S. I've heard that either a couple of plants have already closed or are going to close because jobs are being outsourced to the Orient. And also, Donald Trump's trade policy is possibly accelerating this policy. And if you could fill us in, that would be great.
Yeah, so, like many companies, they're always looking to reduce their costs, often at the expense of the work being done in the United States. And while there are some people argue that there was some speculation Harley was looking at doing that, with the tariffs that the president's put out there without really kind of any rhyme or reason, Harley has said that now it's going to cost too much to get their product there to actually be able to sell. They may have to start producing it there to be able to sell models. So that would create a loss of jobs here in the United States, that they can open up that market in China and still be cost competitive. That's the fight. So the president, of course, as you would imagine, said, well, whatever I can do to help make sure we don't lose jobs. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm going to start a boycott of Harley, and immediately he started attacking. So, I think the issue is if these tariffs go in place without really any plan, and they are really out there without any plan right now, I've had other companies tell me the same thing. They sell in China, and they're going to be forced to have to create the product in China because of cost restraints, because the president hasn't really thought through what he's doing. So that's what's going on with Harley. His unfortunate reaction was to attack them and say if they do that, he'll start a boycott. Again, a Wisconsin company, a U.S. company that employs a lot of people. This is more of the total dysfunction of the trade policies of Donald Trump.
James in Lakewood, Washington, listening on our Pacifica affiliate in the Seattle area, KBCS. James, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I was wondering if we could reenact the piracy laws for the corporations that have registered offshore. Is that possible, or has that been taken out?
James, I mean, it's an interesting suggestion. I'm not sure. I haven't heard that mentioned ever. You know, there is this odd legal loophole that I would argue if Democrats win, we should be looking at, which is the loophole that allows people to buy a small company in Ireland or somewhere else and then become an Irish company and avoid paying taxes here. It's a legal loophole, but even I've seen business magazines rail against doing that. So I think, you know, that's something that we should certainly clean up should we have an opportunity to, and I'd hope the president, even though in his tax bill actually incentivized people to send jobs overseas for all his rhetoric, you know, maybe that's something we could try to make him put his rhetoric up to action. But I'm not sure about the piracy, but there are other ways we can address that.
Douglas in San Francisco, listening on AM 910. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, gentlemen. When I was wondering if they were looking into the Kavanaugh, right when I heard about those tickets. Now, that seems to me, and I've seen it in my hometown, where that they're compromised and they give the tickets as like currency. You get 40 cents on the dollar. Is there any kind of way they can look into that, of him using those tickets to pay off some sort of a gambling debt?
Yeah, I couldn't answer that, Douglas, offhand. I mean, obviously, a lot of things have come up. I give credit to people asking him point blank, did you have gambling debt? And I don't know if we got a point blank answer back. But I don't have a good answer for you on that. I think most of what we're looking at is honestly his legal decisions and whether or not he's being truthful during a confirmation hearing. I think those are probably going to be the best ways to, if we're going to have success in you know, trying to reject his nomination by going those routes.
Johnny in Lamarck, Texas, watching on Free Speech TV. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good morning, Congressman Pocan. Given how grave the situation is with having a dishonest and a extremist ideologue going into the Supreme Court, I would suggest that we would need to be calling more than just Sue Collins and Lisa Murkowski. I would suggest that we lead at least have 2 to 4 more Republican names to that list and at least 2 to 4 Democrats. And the Democrats I would suggest, and you tell me if you disagree, would be Joe Manchin, Heidi Heitkamp, and the Louisiana senator whose name escapes me right now.
Kennedy?
Yeah, John Kennedy is the Republican from Louisiana. Anyhow, Congressman?
Yeah, the people that we're watching, obviously the closest, I mean, I think there's 5, I think was what I was told just yesterday, senators who haven't indicated where they're at. Obviously, Heidi Heitkamp, Joe Donnelly, Joe Manchin are a few of the folks that we're watching really closely. There's a few others. Fortunately, people like Tammy Baldwin, who's, you know, up in a competitive state, you know, she knows exactly where her morals are and her values and why this is a bad nominee. But we do have a few other people who, you know, are still a little afraid to take a position. The key, though, is Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. If they're not coming along, this will be very difficult to stop.
Tony in Watsonville, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I'm calling about these internment camps they're building for the kids and the families they're separating from. I was curious, are these just like shells for the right wing to build these and house them and charge exorbitant amounts of money just to put in shell companies and to promote the GOP process? Thank you.
Yeah, Tony, in my opinion, that's not true. I mean, certainly there's a byproduct out of housing a bunch of people because private contractors are going to make a lot of money, and at the rate of 700-something a day, which is utterly ridiculous, clearly we're spending a lot of money on that, and that's a waste. There's far more important things I think we could be doing. But, you know, this is really to the rhetoric. Donald Trump, by him stopping people coming to a legal point of entry under international law where you can claim amnesty, and making it harder and almost impossible for them to do that. I just read another article in the last week about it, and having to come in illegally, and then he, you know, starts the process that he's done with everything else. You know, this is him trying to justify need for the wall, but I would argue it's even more than that. I honestly don't believe Donald Trump wants a wall. I think Donald Trump wants to talk about wanting a wall. I think he wants to go to rallies and get the adoration of his fans over a wall. But when Chuck Schumer offered him money for a wall, which I didn't agree with, he didn't take yes for an answer. So this is a guy who is far more about the narcissism that he's got and getting that support from his base and really going to the most racist elements of that debate in order to feel good about himself, which is why this is such a dysfunctional White House. So it's really far more sad and worse, I think, than even your scenario of this is just done for profit. I think this is done for Donald Trump's ego, and we're ruining and affecting a lot of people's lives because of it.
It's also done as a shout-out to the racist. Cambridge Analytica, before he started his campaign, said the two things that will get you the biggest traction are build a wall and have Mexico pay for it and lock up Hillary Clinton. And he was skeptical about both of them, but he tried them out in rallies, and they worked really well.
Yeah.
So here we go.
And the whole Puerto Rico stuff, too. I mean, you know, on the deaths, again, yeah, every time I think the guy can't go any lower, he does something. And in this case, you're you know, all these American citizens and their families that you're disrespecting because of his ego. I mean, there's an incredible amount of narcissism in this guy.
Yeah. Susan, in Miami, Florida, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, this is Susan. My question is regarding the Kavanaugh, whether or not we can just impeach him for lying. Even if they appoint him to the Supreme Court, he obviously was not truthful in 2002, 2003, and just recently.
Yeah, so Susan, I think I mentioned this a little bit in the beginning, and I read an article, I think, where they said there's like four areas they think he potentially lied through his hearing. I think people are really taking a look at that because you've got to, don't forget, with this Congress, I don't expect Paul Ryan to suddenly rediscover his spine. He has lost it completely for the last 18 months. And Mitch McConnell, you would assume he had one at one time. So I don't really think we're going to get this Congress to act on it right now, but that doesn't mean you don't try to do it if there's something there. I think we're looking very seriously at these items right now to see how much he offered that might be in contrast. But we want more documents, and they're not giving us those documents. So there's a lot of work we're still doing. But by the actual votes on this confirmation, Collins and Murkowski are really, really key.
Yeah. And if we start impeaching Supreme Court justices for lying in their confirmations, I would say Clarence Thomas is up next.
A few others, you're right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour here on the Tom Hartman program. We'll be back with more of your calls for the Congressman right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And you can visit Congressman Pocan's webpage at pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. And welcome back. Charlene, in, how do you say that town in Illinois? It looks like it says Noncomas.
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 Okay. From the town of Hiawatha.
Oh, great. Okay. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Thanks for calling.
Well, hello. I'd like to know, President Obama was like the greatest guy ever. I can't imagine anybody better than him for president. And yet he still didn't do most of the stuff that we progressives need. In fact, he did a lot of stuff we don't need. And I'm assuming that is because he was held back by the rich donors to the Democratic Party, the same as the Republicans are held back by their rich donors. They have to do what they're told. So what I'm saying is, you know, Why should we vote democratically again when the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? What is going to be different? Why shouldn't we vote Green Party and try to get another party built up that's going to do what we want instead of the Democratic Party?
Sure, Charlene. So first of all, my perception is a little different. I think the first 2 years, Barack Obama probably tried too hard to work with Republicans that had absolutely no intention of working with him, and that's when we had the majority. And then when people didn't come out and vote in 2010 because we didn't accomplish the things that he said he was going to do because he was trying to get it done working with the Republicans, we had this giant loss in the House and the Senate, and because of it, he wasn't able to have a majority to get things done. And some of the rule changes he did were in the last couple years of his administration, and unfortunately, some of those got turned over by Donald Trump. I think they thought Hillary Clinton was going to win, and they had some time to do this. And so you know, many good things did happen under Barack Obama, and I think, you know, again, aspirationally, you know, he really was such a great face for the country to the rest of the world. But I don't think, you know, the problem was the rich donors. I think there's plenty of problems with rich donors and why we need to address campaign finance significantly in this country. But in the case of why some things didn't could happen, I think a lot more probably, you know, were that failure the first 2 years and then losing the Congress and not being able to get things to move forward.
Dee in Bellevue, Washington, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, hi. I was on the freeway and I saw a tank on a flatbed. And come to find out, in West Seattle, Terminal 5, they're going to have about 1,000 tanks coming in, heading to Korea. Is there something we should know? And is it going to north or south?
Great question. I don't know, Dia. You're breaking news to me right now on that. So I will look into it, but I have not heard that.
Mary in Las Vegas, Nevada, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan. Thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV.
Morning. If I'm not mistaken, I think Carrier closed their doors, and they're taking their business out of the country. I think that was the one Trump had the big photo op with then early on. And another concern is if jobs go to China, then there goes our technology, and there go even more jobs here. And I just don't know why we continue to sell the boardwalk to Russia and to countries that, you know, we're selling real estate here to countries that, you know, don't adhere to our way of life.
Yeah, Mary, I'll tell you, this is my opinion, but shared by, I think, a number of people, that Donald Trump is more about the United States of Donald Trump than this country. And much of what he does is about future money, profits for he and his family and his businesses. And that's part of why I think these bad decisions have happened.
We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan in just a moment. Stick around. It's the Tom Hartman Program. And it's before the hour. It's anything goes. Excuse me. It's Congressman Mark Pocan. Middays with Mark, taking your calls. Leslie in New York City. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, John. This is Les.
Hey, Les. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Okay. Hi, Congressman. Hey, I was going to bring up about the lady brought up about the lying of
Kavanaugh,
the Supreme Court nominee. Yeah. He lied, what, four times? And some people are going to prosecute him, I understand. And the Democrats ought to be furious about this guy. They ought to make the biggest deal in the world about it, to take this guy out. You guys got to be going nuts right now. But they ain't. I think guys are going to let him slide again, just like they always do.
Yeah, so, Les, Tom, first of all, I do have to run. A vote has been called a while back, and if I don't go... in about the next minute, I'm going to be late for it. So let me just say to Les, you know, I think they are. Just you got to have the information, right? People are saying he lied, but there's the legal standard of a lie and impeachable standard and the reality of the Congress. So I think, you know, I've been more surprised than not how aggressive the Senate Democrats have been on this. So, you know, this is all still new and developing. Let's watch it closely. But without those two Republican votes, it's still very hard on this nomination. We have to remember that. But I apologize to everyone for having to cut out early.
Okay. Well, good luck with your vote, and thank you for being with us for the 53 minutes you were. I really appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thank you, Tom. Take care.
Great talking with you. Congressman Mark Pocan, his website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. I'll continue to pick up your calls here. Gary in Tacoma, Washington, listening on our Pacific affiliate in Tacoma, 91.3 FM. Gary, what's up?
Wow, this is for real. Tom, first of all, I thoroughly enjoy you. You're part of my daily routine.
Thank you, Gary.
This whole situation reminds me of the often used, the frog sitting in the pan of water with the heat on, and it slowly boils, and the frog never realizes that our country basically is the frog. When I was a landlord, I can remember being on the porch of a house trying to get 5 months' rent in arrears, and being told by the person in my home, on my property, to get off the porch because I didn't give him 48 hours notice. We are in a situation. This Trump is like watching Dr. Strangelove, but it's, you know, every day I wake up to the sitcom or whatever you want to call it, the dark comedy, the Trump show. I just don't understand it. I'm 72 years old, ex-Marine. I can remember being intimidated by adults as a young man, wondering when will I grow up? When will I have a say? When will I be part of it? Well, shit, I'm 72 years old, and I still don't see any man stepping up to that clown and knocking him out or knocking him over. When he did his simulation of a handicapped person, that should have been it right then and there.
Yeah.
You know, somebody should have come up, taken him by the arm, and walked him off the stage. I'm just so frustrated.
It is happening, Gary. It is happening. His popularity is now in the low 30% range. Outside of the dedicated Fox viewers and dedicated listeners to right-wing hate radio, which is apparently about a little less than a third of the country, outside of that little bubble, he's got nothing. And that, by the way, that should be huge. I mean, right-wing hate radio is literally available in every city in America, whereas progressive voices are only available in a few cities in America. Fox is basic cable. They don't charge for it, unlike MSNBC, where you have to pay an extra $5 a month. Fox is free everywhere in the country. And so, you know, with that kind of support, he should actually have, you know, a much larger base. I think that even the Republicans are waking up to this guy, Gary. I'm not all that concerned about it.
I would hope so. All right. Hey, we love you.
And thank you. And you've got some serious Democrats out there who are, you know, coming to take this guy down. So thank you. Floyd in Bakersfield, California. Floyd, we just have a little less than a minute before the top of the hour here. What's up?
I just got a question. If Trump's election was illegal, if the Russians helped him be elected, and Mueller proves that,
right,
shouldn't all of his people he's trying to get into the Supreme Court, is there any way that if he was impeached, they could be removed?
They would have to be individually impeached. The problem is that our Constitution doesn't envision this kind of thing. And you would think after the horrible presidency of Andrew Jackson that whether it was Martin Van Buren who followed him or whether it was John Quincy Adams who preceded him, they were all horrified by him. And maybe Congress should have put something in place for annulling, phony baloney elections, but they didn't. So, Floyd, I don't see how it could happen. Unfortunately, I agree with you, though.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.